The secret weapon.
Resistance.
So.
Good, see, if Cindy Steele. She gave me this.
So that it can stay.
Oh.
She gave me this to put music against, but we're using it to.
Oh, isn't that
put it in front of the music.
Oh, I see.
So we can't mess it up.
All right, so be careful.
Whatever
anything
works.
What are you playing over here? I'm not playing anything. Okay,
then it doesn't work. Okay, then. All right. Okay, then. And am I sitting?
Why
is it? Well, I'm not. Oh, yes, you're
over
the stuff on the
camera. Right.
No.
He probably is, yeah. He barks almost the entire time. It's so hard. But we don't leave him much. I mean, I do all my work at home during the week. And then when Bob gets home, I run over to the church.
1 minute.
Service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. We're so grateful this morning for Betsy DeFelice. She came last week and she was supposed to fly out, I believe, yesterday, and she was persuaded to stay another few days. So we're so delighted that she is back to minister with us this morning. We also are so thrilled to have Amanda and Kana Mitterman here. And they will be ministering not only in song, but in word as well. Today is Communion Sunday, and we invite you to have some food before you so that during communion, you may partake with us. We have an open communion, which means that all are welcome at the table. Let us now turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Watchword for the week is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Please join us as we sing, "Hear, O my Lord, I see you face to face."
Here would I touch and
our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We want to remember today the members of the Oneida Nation who have lost loved ones in the tragic shooting that occurred overnight. We also want continued prayers for Dave, Chris and daughter Erin, Gail, Greg, Marguerite, Tammy, Julanne, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? We are so grateful, O Lord, that we could be here today, here in your presence. We're so grateful that you are not limited by our time and space. We thank you that you are not limited to buildings, but that wherever we call on your name, you are with us. And so we call upon your holy name this day. We would remember those who were involved in the shooting last night. We remember their families. We remember all of those who were in harm's way. And we ask that your healing mercy would be upon them. We would remember all of those we have lifted up by name this day. Those who have chronic illnesses, those who have burdens too heavy to bear, we ask that your grace and your peace and your mercy would be upon them. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Taken from Psalm 22. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who reverence me. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all those who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The New Testament lesson is taken from the first letter of John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given of us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The gospel lesson is taken from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our reflection is written by Kathleen Harris, entitled, Gird Up Your Loins for Agape Love, Part 1. In early May, enthusiastic chirps bounce along the branches of Door County cedar trees. The black-throated green warbler's peppy buzz complements the cardinal's down-slurred whistle. We humans listen and sigh wistfully. Spring bird song reminds us of yesterday's romance and today's possibility. We think about love. This Sunday's scripture readings speak of a different kind of love, called agape by the ancient Greeks. It is unconditional. It is God who is love abiding in us. According to Mother Teresa, it doesn't measure, it just gives. Nor does it fear, for fear involves punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. It is observant, but not passive. It is tolerant, but principled. Agape love demands blind trust in the existence of goodness. Agape love can transform the one who loves and the one loved, but it is a thorny practice. It is not always easy to love those close to us, said Teresa of Calcutta. It is easier to give a cup of rice to relieve hunger than to relieve the loneliness and pain of someone unloved in our own home. And yet for us, home, this corner of the world we call Door County, is exactly where the highest form of love begins. We may never know if our words and deeds change a life, or even a life moment. We love anyway. What do we receive in return? Often painful indifference or fierce loathing. we might see a glimpse of God who resides in even the most scarred person. We might witness redemptive justice, but usually not. We love anyway. Loving this way is a kind of spiritual pruning. Acts of agape love gracefully shape us individually into better selves and collectively into a more divine community. If we abandon this highest form of love, overwhelmed and weary with hate's optics, we are like olive branches ripped from the vine by our own hands and cast to the ground. And listening to spring bird song? It's time well spent. It's a heavenly balm, healing and rejuvenating. Immerse yourself unapologetic, then refreshed, lift up agape love's thorny mantle once again. Amen. Looking forward to the time when the church will be full and the applause will be resounding. But everybody applauded at home, and they were so thrilled with that beautiful music. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the pitfalls of preachers is that we can tend to get preachy. You know what I'm talking about, you who sat in pews for years, the preachy ones? Those are the sermons which tell you what you ought to do, what you should do, what you really need to feel guilty about. And unfortunately, passages like this help us preachers really be preachy. And every sermon I've heard about loving tends to be preachy, because we all know the ideal, and we all know what we should do and what we ought to do, and we all know that we fall short, and we can sit here listening and feel really guilty because of the snarky remark we made when we ought to be loving each other. But I hope we can give each other a break today, because I know it's been a difficult season. And I know that we all want to do better. Well, I shouldn't say that, most of us do. There are people who love to wrap themselves in their own snark, who don't really mind being unloving, but they're not the ones I'm speaking to today. All of you who are tuning in have the urge and the desire to be good people. And so I don't want to be preachy today. I want to talk to those people who have loved and who have loved deeply, and that love has not been returned. I want to talk to those people who feel unloved. I want to talk to those people who've had their foundations shaken. And in so doing, I want to talk about Psalm 22. For you see, Amanda read the last part of that psalm, and when I read that, it's from the lectionary readings today, and I thought, what on earth does that have to do with the New Testament readings? Because if you read Psalm 22, that piece of it, it's all about praising God. It's all about saying how good God is, and that the posterity, that God's grace and God's mercy is going to be preached to a generation unborn. It's a very lyric piece, but what does it have to do with being in the vine, and what does it have to do with loving each other? Well, you have to look at the whole psalm, because when the psalm begins, you realize that the man who's writing this has felt not only unloved by people, but completely abandoned by God. Do you remember how Psalm 22 opens? I'll remind you, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry to you day and night. You do not answer. Here's a person who feels not only unloved, but abandoned. Have you ever felt that way? It's the same cry that Jesus uttered on the cross. And during the psalm, as he's writing this down, there's kind of a push and pull in the psalm, because he pours out his heart and he says, I'm abandoned. And then he'll say, but I know you're good. And I know you've worked in the past, but I'm abandoned. And then he'll talk about people. There were his natural enemies, the people that did not care about him at all. But then there were friends who abandoned him in his darkest hour. And we've all been there, haven't we? When something terrible happens and the people around us don't know how to handle it, so they push us away. And that's even worse than our enemies laughing at us, isn't it? Because they were the ones who who should have held us close. They were the ones who should have demonstrated love. And so back and forth he goes. With God, you've abandoned me. I feel completely helpless and alone and unloved by God. I feel completely helpless and alone and unloved by friends, and I've been mocked by my enemies. But I know that in the past you've been good. I know that in the past you've helped. And so what this psalmist does in the conclusion of this psalm that was read is he makes a decision. And it's a decision that we all need to wrestle with. Am I going to stick by this God who I know has been gracious in the past? And although the heavens are quiet right now, am I going to still serve him? And the psalmist comes out with this wonderful decision. He says that the dust, those who are dead will bow down to him, but I will live for him. And I will proclaim his deliverance. And so that the next generation will hear that, and the generation after that will hear it. And this is how we love deeply. This is how we stay in God, is when we make that decision that even when we feel abandoned, we are going to still hold on. Kathleen said it so beautifully when she said, we love anyway. And so if you're in that part of life where you feel like the foundations have shifted and you're not even sure about God's love, love anyway. Jesus said it this way. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Catch a hold of me and stay within me. Abide in me. If it were easy, we'd all do it, wouldn't we? But it's not sometimes. And when we feel this way, we throw ourselves on the mercy of God. We recall the past and we live into the present and the future. Would you do that today if you're one who says, I feel loved, unloved, and abandoned? Hold on to the promise of God's gracious love and let us all serve him more fully, more lovingly, until that day when our faith is turned to sight, we see God's deliverance. We see the results of love. Until that day, dear friends, hold on. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that the psalmist of old, even in his despair, held on to you. Lord, we thank you that when Jesus uttered that wretched cry from the cross, he still held on to you. Lord, we thank you that you hold on to us in every season of life. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to abide in you this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you now to the Lord's table. Our Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. Christ took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Let us drink together the cup of salvation." Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
casualties. Dana, well done.
Yes.
Well done. Thanks very much.
Wonderful.
Always an adventure.